Heavenly Places, page 366, Glories of the Future World is the title, and it's, of course, for December 25th. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4 says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." And then it says, "Many have longed to penetrate into the glories of the future world and to have secrets of eternal mysteries disclosed to them, but they knock in vain. That which is revealed is for us and for our children. The great revealer hath opened to our intelligence many things that are essential in order that we may understand the heavenly attractions and have respect to the recompense of the reward. The unfoldings of Jesus in reverence to heavenly things are a character are of a character that only the spiritual mind can appreciate." See, that's why a lot of people have a hard time finding out who he is. So sad, but it says, "The imagination may summon its utmost powers in order to picture the glories of heaven, but eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has for them that God hath prepared for them that love him." Of course, that's 1 Corinthians 2:9. Okay, that's the one I was talking about earlier. But anyway, it says, "The heavenly intelligence are all around us. Angels of light create a heavenly atmosphere about the soul, lifting us toward the unseen and eternal." You know, one of the first times I realized the blessing of angels of light creating a heavenly atmosphere about the soul was the very first time I went to bed scared. You know what I mean? Like in a dark room, door shut, the whole nine yards. Even as an adult, because before I became a Christian, some of you know that I used to mess with manifestations. And so I've seen things. Those things are real. They're not ghosts. They're actual demons acting like like your dead grandma at the end of your bed or something. You know, it's not really anybody. You know, the Bible's pretty clear about the state of the dead. And so, there was times after I became a Christian that I had, you know, fearful thoughts about going to bed. Because I'm thinking, oh, what was that? Or I heard that, or I saw this. Yeah, you know, I just said, wait a second. Don't I have a hedge of angels around me? In other words, those demons ain't getting anywhere near me. So off to sleep, start snoring away. Perfect peace. That's one of the blessings of walking with Christ. I mean, it's not just peace in the little areas of life. It's not, you know, where the bills don't get to you, you know, the crazy things that the government's doing don't get to you and stuff like that. It's just everything. Everything involved. Our Lord literally has an answer for everything that brings a smile to our face. She says, we cannot behold their forms with our natural sight. Only by the spiritual vision can we discern heavenly things. So you don't have to see these things. It's like I've always said, you know, because like I said, I did mess with manifestations and I saw things. But with the Father, I tell him when I'm in prayer, I do not need evidence of your existence. I know you're there. I've seen your enemy. Well, not the enemy, but, you know, I've seen, if those things are real, I know he's real. But that's not what I base my faith on. It's just sometimes you can use it on the street. Because I ran across some young men that got into demons, or demon worship and demon play, and or manifestation or whatever, and or even the conjuring thing. And since you acknowledge their demons. You're not dumb in the head like I was and thought they were like a poltergeist, like one of your dead relatives. So since you are admitting them to be demons, why on earth would you choose to hang with them when acknowledging a demon means you acknowledge a God? Because a demon is always the enemy of a God, even in mythology. And so, why? It made absolutely no sense. But like I was saying a minute ago, like when I'm in prayer, I don't need my Father's hand. I don't need to see, I don't need to, you know, like have a hand come out of the sky and wave at me to prove that he loves me. I've got his written word, you know, and he's not a liar. And so, you know, when you pray, you don't, well, I mean, sure, there's some times when you need the golden fleece and stuff like that. You need to get an answer on a specific question. But that's neither here nor there in regards to all that, because what she's talking about here with the spiritual vision, yeah, like when I was getting ready to lay down in the bed that night, I couldn't see the demons and I couldn't see the good angels. But I knew the good angels were there. I don't know if the demons are there because the scriptures doesn't stipulate as to when they're going to be there and when they're not. It only stipulates as to when the good ones are going to be there. And that's all I need to know. So I can spiritually see them with heavenly discernment because of that which is written. So she says, our human powers would be extinguished by the inexpressible glory of the angels of light. The spiritual ear alone can distinguish the harmony of heavenly voices. It is not Christ's plan to excite the emotions by brilliant descriptions. He has with sufficient distinctness, presented himself, the way, the truth, and the life, as the only means whereby salvation is to be obtained. No more than this is really required. So, he might bring the human soul, she says, to the threshold of heaven, and through the open door show us its inner glory flooding the heavenly sanctuary and shining out through its portals. But we must behold it by faith, not with the natural eyes. And why do you think that is? Why do you think that when Jesus ascended in front of the apostles, clouds covered up his glorious reception back into New Jerusalem? Why do you suppose that is? Because the apostles would have had their eyes on the wrong prize. They would have seen, the wonderful streets of gold. They would have, seen all the billions of angels. How many were there? We don't know. The massive walls. The beauty of the city. The light that beams from within. I mean, they would have just been struck like that, and they would have been concentrating on getting to that city rather than concentrating on emulating the character of Christ himself. So, of course, that's why it says, his ways are not our ways. There's a lot of times we really don't understand as to why he does the things he does, and that don't matter. You just got to trust him. He says he does not forget that we are his human agents to work the works of God in a world all seared and marred with the curse. It is in this world that is clothed with moral darkness, like the pall of death, where darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, that we are to walk in the light of heaven. And sometimes that can be a little difficult, because we're surrounded, pretty much. We're just pilgrims on this fallen world. Okay, I just noticed something. I'll fix that in a minute. But yeah, this is one of the nice things about the scriptures and having a heart that seeks after the truth rather than just reading it. Because I was talking to a guy today, I think it was, online, and he spouts off all these strange doctrines and all this other stuff. Is, look, I read the Bible 2 years, or 2 times, rather, in my whole life. And and he was a born-again Baptist and all this other stuff, and he says he has proof there's no God and all this other folder. And, of course, no proof to back up anything he says. And then he starts to quote Scripture. They always do that. I says, look, if you don't believe the Bible, please don't try quoting from it to verify your case. Because right off the bat you're saying, I don't believe this book, but check this out. Well, then you're already, your statement's already failed. You've already declared that the Bible's true. You're using it as a source of truth to back up your statements. But that's what I was getting at there, is in regards to the way, there's a difference between reading the Bible and studying it. There's a difference between looking into those pages to escape hellfire, because some people actually look at Christianity as just fire insurance, or some people look at the Bible the way we should, and hopefully all of us do, is to figure out ways to make him smile. To figure out how Jesus walks so that we can walk in that manner so as to please the Father and be used of him so as to garner more souls for the kingdom. And in other words, look into the Bible looking for the answer to love and to how to reflect that love and to have it come forth. So yeah, good way of putting it there, Alex. Focus on perfection of character with Christ so that you can belong or deserve to be in heaven, or actually be considered a citizen of heaven, actually, rather than focus on trying to get there. Because that's why the clouds covered up the ascension. That's a good way to see. This is what I like about the, you know, the many different minds of the church, the body of Christ, you know. There's all these amazing different ways of looking at it, and it does, you know, you could write a sermon on that one statement there. Yeah, that's pretty good. Out of the mouths of the people of God, you know. So, anyway, let me end this here, and I hope and pray you were blessed.